It's all together.
Thanks, guys. That's absolutely brilliant. Great time. Thank you. Special thanks to Bianca, who had to drop in at the last moment, as it were, because Dave's son is in hospital. He was going to lead us, so we'll remember that when we have a prayer time as well. You might be forgiven this morning for thinking that this is not a team ministry, but it very much is a team ministry, but... Pastor Robin and Pastor Emmanuel, as most of you know, are in Portugal. And greetings to you, looking at us now. Give them a wave. That's it. Thank you. Great. It's good. So we've been looking at the armour of God. We're just going to carry on with that this morning. And we've looked at the wiles of the enemy, or the strategies that the enemy brings against us. Can any of you remember what the first one was? Lies, just about. Yes, okay. Think about this. Okay, so you first put on the belt of truth to counter the lies, and you put on the breastplate of righteousness to counter the accusations against you. We're getting there slowly. And then we put on our shoes, which we I know this is a bit more obscure, but it deals with the fear of going forward, of moving forward, because God wants us to move forward. And then last time we looked at external attack upon us. External attacks, things that come from the outside to us. And today we want to look at a mental attack. You need a helmet, and the helmet protects your head. It protects your mind. That's what it's for. Just, it's interesting. Did you listen and hear what Richard said this morning in that testimony? He said for those first 3 years, they thought, oh, if we don't hear a murmur or a cry... Oh, I wonder if she's died. The mental thing going on inside. I want to say to you, I've had a difficult 2 weeks. I've had a difficult 2 weeks. I have been in a situation sometimes where I just felt so confused. I had to sit down and do something, and I sat down. I just could not get my mind into gear at all. It just wouldn't happen. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't actually marshal any thoughts. And for those of you who know me, that isn't like me. Okay. I found it so difficult to concentrate. I found things just keep coming at me and at me. Funny, peculiar thoughts. Things like, suddenly wondering whether that person loves you anymore. Does my mom really love me? Well, hold on, where's that come from? That type of thing. We need a helmet to protect our heads and our thoughts. The mind is a very strategic place for attack. I want you to know, we're at the sharp end now. And, you know, one of the things that I thought from the beginning was that this list builds up and builds up and builds up. We're getting to the last two, and we're at the sharp end, brothers and sisters. These are the things that really will affect you. And the enemy will really go for you. Mind games. Mind games in sport. People actually say, oh, this is a mind game. What about spin in politics? Just trying to manipulate you. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That people, some people are renowned and fated for the fact they can mess with your mind. Don't you find that strange? Sir Alex Ferguson, for those who don't know, was renowned for playing mind games with the opposition. He specifically went out to manipulate other people in other teams to reduce them to psychological rubble. You have an enemy that's trying to produce psychological rubble in you. If he can manipulate you, if he can change your thinking, then maybe the outcome gets changed. If he can actually stop you and manipulate you into thinking something other than God's thoughts and what he's trying to tell you to move and do and say, then he stopped the kingdom moving forward. And that's what he's trying to do. So I'm wanting you, let's look at some scriptures. I've got some quite a few scriptures this morning in blocks. It's quite quick. But just so that you can actually be aware of what the scripture says about these things. So let's have a look at the first one. This first one comes from Romans chapter 8. And all of them talk about the mind. Look at that as we go through. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Next one, 2 Corinthians. Their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. The minds became dull. It says in one of the other versions that their minds were hardened. Next one, 2 Corinthians. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. James. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind. In the other versions, the old versions, it says, do you remember? Double-minded. People who, we're not sure here. I thought it was this, but maybe it's this, or maybe it isn't. And so the mind is a battlefield on lots and lots of fronts. Think about the things we've just looked at. A mind set on things of the flesh. A different mindset. A hardened mind, a deceived mind, a mind seduced away from sincere and pure devotion to Christ, a doubting mind, a double-minded and unstable mind, anything to cause doubt and confusion, prevent clear thinking, or cause our thinking to change. How many times have you thought these? Can I do this? Am I up to it? Will this really work? Is my guidance correct? Am I on the right path? Have I really heard from God? Is this really His word? Any of you thought of any of those things? You see, the enemy is trying to play a mind game with you. Oh, I'm suddenly not sure. I've suddenly got a doubt. I thought the Lord was taking me and using me in this way, but I'm suddenly not. Am I right? Did he really say that? And suddenly there's that confusion and there's that doubt. The devil will stop at nothing to stop you from moving forward. From you fulfilling the plan that God has for you. You know, we've quoted, and I've heard it a lot recently, the word from Jeremiah, I know the plans for you, that the Lord has got the plans for you, for good and not for evil. But the plans, you know, the Lord has a great plan for you. But if I just stand here, the plan doesn't work out. The Lord, what we can say is, the Lord had a good plan for me. But I just stayed still. No plan will work out if you stand still. And all the enemy wants to do is to get you to stand still and not move forward. Just stay there, Andrew, until you've got it sorted out. Stay there until it becomes a bit clearer. There's no need to rush. I'll just sit down and think about this a while. And a while. And a week's gone by. And a month's gone by. And the thing that I was thinking of, do you know what? I want to say, brothers and sisters, this has happened to me a lot. Not so much recently, of course, but the number of times the Lord told me to do something and I've hivered and hovered, somebody else has done it. Have you had that happen to you? Oh, well, I was just checking it out. I wasn't quite sure. The Lord said this, did the Lord say? And it's going around and around and around and around in my mind. And as a result, it didn't get done. You have an enemy that is trying to make that happen. So let's have a look at one or two other scriptures. This is the opposite of what we've just been looking at. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. That's not easy to do. It's easy to understand, but not easy to do. Next, finally, brothers and sisters, of course, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those. Set your mind on those things. Isn't it? It's a fantastic list, isn't it? Noble, true, noble. What is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Excellent and praiseworthy. Set your mind on those things. Next, one we've looked at a lot recently. Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Listen, there is the test, what we've been talking about. Look, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then it will, this is my paraphrase now, all right? Then it will be clear what God is asking you to do. Then it will be clear and there will be no doubt. You'll be able to move forward in confidence because you'll know his good, pleasing and perfect will for you right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott. It's another amen. 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 Good. Next one, let's look what Peter says. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Wow, that's what we're talking about. There's a battle for the kingdom. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, okay, thanks. So, Paul says to the Ephesians, so take the helmet of salvation. Five small words. Take the helmet of salvation. I want to deal with the last of those words first, because it's a very interesting word. How many of you consider yourself to be saved? That's a good proportion. Okay. Hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation. Well, it doesn't mean you need to be saved. Because you've just put your hands up. You already are saved. So it must mean something else. That's interesting, isn't it? Paul was writing to the Christians at Ephesus. When he says to them, take the helmet of salvation, he is not saying, take a helmet and get saved. They were already saved. Now I want to show you a really interesting verse from Isaiah 59. It's a prophetic verse about Jesus. He put on righteousness as his breastplate. We looked at that when we looked at that. And the helmet of salvation on his head. I want to make a suggestion to you. Jesus, who put on this helmet of salvation, didn't need to get saved. Anybody agree with that? Oh, good. Okay. So what then does it mean? The word salvation is used 42 times in the New Testament, but it's only used like this 5 times because it's not quite a different word, but it's a different part of the same word. And one of the ways that it was used, which is I picked this one, of course, because it's the most simple to understand. Do you remember when they brought Jesus into the temple when he was 8 years old and Simeon was there? Well, Simeon had been told by the Spirit, I want you to get up and I want you to go to the temple right now. So he gets up and he goes from his house, he goes to the temple. And at the time he just gets to the temple, Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple. And he looks at the child and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. It wasn't mean he was getting saved. What he did was he saw the Lord. Salvation was equated to Jesus himself. Salvation comes from the Lord, but it's more than just being saved. And in this context, it's much more. It means that you take this helmet, it's something that is being offered to you. This is the other word now, offered to you. If I come and offer you something, and you take it from me. Now let's put those two things together. Jesus is coming in your difficult situation when your mind is going all over the place and the enemy is attacking you. And he says, I'm here. What you need is me. Take me. Do you remember that it says in Scripture that we have to clothe ourselves with Christ in a different context? Jesus is saying, here I am in the form of a helmet, in the form of some sort of hat. Take me and cover your mind with me. There have been times, I've said it in this last 2 weeks, when I've just had to say, Lord, help. Help me, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But I just need you right now to come and be the helmet on my head. I just need you to come and be that protection. We now have a law that says that if you're on a motorbike, you have to have your helmet on. Brothers and sisters, you have to have your helmet on. So, take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of Jesus himself, who will cover you and your thought processes and your mind, will keep you in a right mind for all sorts of different reasons and in all sorts of situations. Don't go out without your helmet. Hey, I sometimes leave my phone at home and get into trouble for it. I don't know how I do it, actually. The trouble is, each time that I go out without my phone, I think I've got it with me. Until I haven't got it with me. You understand what I mean, don't you? You're going out the door. I don't mean physically. We're going to say, hey, say to one of the, have you got your helmet? Take your helmet with you. Don't forget your helmet. And you don't have to just be on a motorbike. Take it all the time, because we need to stop the enemy playing mind games with us. We need to stop the enemy making us whir around and thinking, what am I supposed to be doing here? We need to be clear and concise in what we're doing and what God has called us to do. And everybody has a part to play. We know that. And as we move forward as a church, everybody's going to have to play their part as well. We need to be sure. We need to be certain what we're being called to do. We need to be firm that we are going to move forward as a body and individually. And the enemy will do what he can to mess this up. You probably aren't aware. I'm trying as well to make you aware of these things, so that when it happens to you on Thursday, or maybe it's Tuesday, or whatever, okay, you think, hey, this is the enemy having a go here. This is, right. I used to think that was just me. But no, it's him. It's him trying to mess me about, trying to manipulate my mind. God is our deliverer. Let's just look at one or two other scriptures, and then we'll finish. These are from the Old Testament. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He will deliver you. Next. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. Hey, come and put the helmet on right now, Lord. Next. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer. You see that? Just thinking. Deliverer. He is my saviour. He is my salvation. That's the context of it. It's not the past. It's now. Take the helmet. He's my salvation. Now. Right now when I need him. He's my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. He subdues the enemy under me. Next one. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver me, Lord. Be my salvation right now. And deliver me from the evil one. So we take the helmet. The helmet comes, is actually Jesus in that form. So we don't come for a victory, we come with a victory. Do you understand the difference there? I'll be a little bit personal here. Some of you know and some of you don't. In 2016, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And actually, funnily enough, before the diagnosis, it was fairly, I think I was fairly sure that would be the diagnosis. I actually said to the Lord, "Lord, you can tell me if you want to, or you needn't tell me, but am I going to die from prostate cancer?" And I felt the Lord clearly say, "No, you will not die from prostate cancer." So, when I went along to the Alex to find out what the diagnosis was, I didn't go for a prognosis, I went with a prognosis. I didn't go asking him what the problem was. I went already knowing what was going to happen. And so I went in and there, and he eventually got around to telling me that I had got prostate cancer. That was the diagnosis, and it was bad enough that something needed to be done. And I sat there and said, "Oh, right, okay, yeah, okay, like this. So, and without thinking at all, I just had this conversation with him. "Well, I think you need to do this." And I said, "Well, I'm going to talk to my own GP first, and, you know, that's fine, we'll sort it out." He wrote to my GP and actually said he had an amazing reaction. I didn't know I'd had an amazing reaction. But he actually wrote that in a letter to my GP. He didn't seem to be bothered about it. That's because I didn't go for it, I went with it. I'll tell you another story. I think I might have told this before. I tend to tell the same stories. There was a guy, an African guy. Have I told you Benson Idahosa? Have I just told you that story before? Benson Idahosa had a huge church years ago. He's died now. So he's praying one day, and the Lord said, "I want you to go to Australia." "All right, take some meetings there." "Okay." So he picks up the phone and he telephones the airline, and he said, "I want to go to Australia, and I want to go on this day on this plane." And the girl said, I'm sorry, there's no seats." He said, no, you must be mistaken." He said, "You better look again." So she looked again and she said, "No, there's no seats. It's completely full, this plane." And he said to her down the phone, he said, "I'm sorry, we're at cross purposes here. You're misunderstanding." He said these words, "I haven't come for a ticket. I've come with a ticket." "Now, find me the ticket, because I know that I've got a ticket." And she said, "I've looked. Oh, would you believe there's one seat?" That's true. I heard him say, get the testimony himself. And he was on the plane. I'll finish the story as well, but not that it's anything to do with this, but just so you know. He gets to Australia without a visa. No, it's very hard to get into Australia without a visa. You know that, don't you? That's right. So he gets there, and they said, "Well, where's your visa?" He said, "Well, I don't have a visa." So he said, "Well, you can't come in if you don't have a visa." And he said, I couldn't be this bold myself. I'm a fairly shy sort of guy, really. He said to them, no, you don't understand. My father, God, has sent me here to preach. And you don't own this place. He owns this place. And so I've come. It's a bit like saying, I haven't come with a visa. I haven't come for a visa. I've come with a visa. I've already got a right of entry into this place. And they said, I don't know what it would happen now. They said, "Oh, go on then, go on then." We come not for a victory, we come with a victory already on our heads. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I love that verse from Peter again. I don't know if we can find that Peter verse, but it doesn't matter. It says, set your hope completely. Set your hope, it says there, fully. Other versions, set your hope completely on Jesus. Set your hope completely. Don't let anything else into your mind. Don't let anything else. Take the helmet, put it on. I've got you, Jesus. Thank you. And we'll stand, we'll resist, and we will stand. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jane, do you want to come?
Thanks.